Wendell Stoner had built his trading post on the bank of the Grand, or the Neosho, as some called it. The trading post consisted of a store for his trade goods and a cabin attached to it for his living quarters. With treeless prairie for hundreds of yards both north and south of his store, Wendell could see his customers approaching from a great distance. On this spring afternoon, a lone stranger on foot was sighted by Wendell's wife, Morning Light.
Wendell, there's someone coming.
Wendell's eyes riveted to the approaching figure. Then he turned to look at his wife for a long moment.
Can't be.
Her eyes reflected the dread concern that he had instantly felt. Turning his gaze back toward their visitor, he knew even at that distance there was no mistaking the slight slouch in the man's walk, as if constantly stalking something or someone.
Boot.
He was sure of it, and a feeling of trepidation, absent for these past 12 years, now returned. Carrying a bundle in one hand, and with what appeared to be a shotgun propped on his shoulder, the prodigal son had come home. Looking up then, Boot discovered his mother and father watching him. Just as they had, he gave no sign of greeting as he neared the little store. Boot dropped his bundle and propped the shotgun against it.
Well, well, well. If it ain't Mama and Papa come out to meet me, you two don't look like you're happy to see me.
What the hell are you doing back here, Boot? Did you break out of prison?
Hell no. I served my time, so they had to let me out. I knew my mama would want to see me as soon as I got out. I need some things.
I told you when you started running with Billy Sorefoot and that bunch not to come around here no more. You've caused me and your mother enough grief. See, you best just keep right on walking.
Now, ain't that a fine way to welcome your only son back home? Like I said, I need some things. The sooner I get them, the sooner I'll be on my way.
Well, there ain't much I can help you with. Some food, some clothes, maybe, that's about it.
And a horse, and a rifle, and some cartridges, and maybe...
A slight movement from the corner of the cabin window caught his attention.
Who the hell's inside?
Nobody.
Nobody, hell. I just saw somebody peeping out the window.
It ain't nobody! It's just your sister. Leave her be.
My sister? Hell, I didn't know I had a sister.
She ain't really your sister. She's a little creek girl we took in 2 years ago when her parents was drowned. She ain't no concern of yours.
Come on out here, sister, so I can take a look at you.
When there was no response, he lost interest and quickly changed the subject.
You know, I've been walking a long way. I'm tired and hungry. When a man comes home after 12 years, he ought to be offered something besides rude talk.
Well, I reckon we can give you something to eat. But don't go getting no ideas about staying.
Wendell nodded to his wife. She went inside immediately.
What's my sister's name?
Lily. It's any of your business.
Yes, sir. This is one fine homecoming.
In a few minutes, Morning Light returned with a plate of food and handed it to Boot. He immediately set upon it with a ravenous appetite.
Cold beans and biscuits. Some banquet for my homecoming.
That's all there is right now.
Ain't you got no coffee?
Lily, pour a cup of coffee and fetch it here.
A few minutes later, a slight Creek girl appeared in the cabin doorway holding a cup of coffee.
Well, Lily, no wonder they was hiding you. You ain't no little girl at all. How old are you?
Instinctively protective, Morning Light took the cup from her daughter and stepped between the girl and the unwelcome guest.
She ain't but 14, near as we know. Never you mind about her.
Boot merely smiled in reply, but continued to ogle the young Indian girl. When Lily had returned to the cabin, Boot cleaned up the last of the beans and tossed the plate on the ground.
All right, let's go in the store and see what I need.
Without waiting for Wendell's reaction, he pushed past his father and walked into the store.
I worked hard for this merchandise. I ain't planning to give it all away to the likes of you.
Hell, I don't want all of it. I just want what I need.
I don't owe you a damn thing.
Well, somebody does. And it looks like you're the only one standing here.
Boot began picking items off the shelves. A pair of trousers, a shirt, some tobacco, a coat, and laid them on the counter.
I need a rifle. I see cartridges, but I don't see no rifle.
You know I don't sell guns.
But I bet by God you got a couple in the cabin. I expect I'll be needing one. And a pistol, too.
You can take them clothes there, and that's all I'm giving you. Take them and leave us be!
Old man, you don't understand, do you? I'll decide what I'll take. When I get through here, we'll take a look at them two horses you got in the corral back there. I'm damn tired of walking.
I'll be goddamn, you ain't taking no horse!
We'll see about that.
Boot pushed through the door to the cabin attached to the trading post with Wendell right behind him. He knew exactly where he was heading. Striding past the startled Creek girl, he made straight through the curtain that closed off his parents' bedroom.
I see you keep them in the same place.
Boot picked up one of the two rifles propped in a corner by the bed.
Put it back, Boot.
This is one of them new Winchesters, ain't it? I remember that old Remington, but this here Winchester, that's a hell of a rifle. An old man like you ain't got no use for a rifle like this.
All right. You can take the Remington, and I'll give you cartridges to go with it, but I need that Winchester.
That old Remington's good enough for you, old man. You ain't got nothing to shoot at but jackrabbits and groundhogs. I got better use for this one. Hell, I'll even leave you my shotgun. Now I'll need your saddle.
I ain't got no saddle to spare, and I'll be damned if I'm gonna let you take mine or morning lights.
As Boot started toward the door, Wendell reached out and grabbed him by his sleeve.
No horse and no saddle. Now you get the hell off my land.
I'm warning you, old man.
Wendell lunged for the rifle in Boot's other hand. His son struck him with the butt of the rifle. Boot whirled around just in time to confront his mother with a pistol in her hand. His lightning-quick reaction was to level the Winchester and pull the trigger.
No!
Wendell, on hands and knees, staggered to his feet and lurched toward Boot. Lily was unable to move for several long moments. Standing over his murdered parents, Boot stared dispassionately at the bodies that had given him birth.
It's their own damn fault. They shouldn't have come at me like that.
Suddenly realizing that she might be next, Lily brought herself out of her paralysis and bolted for the door.